stand for the reading of the word. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely fig, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?
Be seated. I'm going to preach this morning by the help of the Lord for just a few minutes on the wrath of the Lamb. They said unto the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the day, great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Before I get started in my message this morning, I didn't aim to overlook Sister Angel Woodall. I want you to know we're glad to have you, Sister Angel. I want to talk about a subject that don't seem to fit, really, the wrath of the Lamb. But in this passage of Scripture, we have been looking in the Revelation chapter 6, earlier in this chapter, at the Lamb of God being certified to open the book that was sealed with seven seals. This lamb that had been slain as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And now this lamb that had been slain, we read about the wrath of that lamb. I don't want to take a lot of time this morning, but I want to tell you that America is beginning to get a taste of the wrath of the Lamb. You know, nature does not have a mind of its own. It does not act on its own. God has his way in the wind and in the whirlwind. We are not subject to forces without any control. There's somebody in control. God is in control. And what we have been seeing in America in recent years, since last August, I read that there had been six hurricanes to hit the state of Florida. And now we have just seen untold destruction by Hurricane Katrina in Louisiana, the Gulf Coast around Mississippi, Biloxi, different areas, even in Alabama. And these storms, nobody wants to say it. In fact, the world resents it. But I'm going to tell you, the Lamb has wrath. And we are seeing the wrath of the Lamb. While God is judging sin around the globe, he has not overlooked the wickedness in the United States of America. And if anybody is guilty before God, it is the United States, because of the fact that we have been blessed with so much light. The gospel has been preached to us. We have churches on every corner. The gospel has gone out across this land over and over and over again. And God judges people according to the amount of light they have. And if the degree of light indicates the degree of guilt, then we are deeply guilty in America, because we've had a high degree of light of the gospel. And God is not overlooking the wickedness in this land, but he is dealing with us. The wrath of the Lamb is being demonstrated in the United States of America. The Bible tells us, we studied about this in Wednesday night here in church in Romans chapter 1 that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men who hold the truth, wickedness in the truth in ungodliness. They know the truth. They have access to the truth. They have the light, but they reject the light and they go on over their conscience and continue in their sin. You see that God's judgment comes in stages. God deals with people in stages. He deals with them in mercy. Then he deals with them in judgment mixed with mercy. And then he deals with them in judgment without mercy. And what we are seeing in America now is God dealing with us in judgment mixed with mercy. It is the prelude. It is the stage before God deals with people in judgment without mercy. The problem in this land is that we have rejected light. There is a growing ignorance of God in the United States of America. I read a column in the Greensboro News and Record yesterday by a man by the name of Leonard Pitts, Jr. He was a columnist for the Miami Herald. They ran an article of his, a column of his, in the Greensboro paper yesterday. Someone had sent him a suggestion that God had interrupted the plans in New Orleans by the storm for a gay festival that was to be carried on this week. It infuriated this man. He was angry beside himself that someone would suggest that God was angry at the sin of homosexuality and that this storm had anything to do with the sins of that city. But I want you to know that this city has a reputation throughout this country of being Sin City. We all know about the rebellious, wicked parties that go on in this place, in this city. They're renowned throughout this country in the, what do they call it, Mardi Gras Festival, where they get drunk and commit all kinds of immorality. And it's not just during that time that this city is noted for its sin and immorality, but it has a reputation of being a party town, a town of drunkenness, a city of immorality. One resident said of New Orleans that they liked this city because it allowed people to be themselves. In other words, you were accepted as you are, and they didn't try to change you. So the drunkenness, the nightlife, the revelry, the immorality was carried on right up until the time that God sent this hurricane into that city. They were partying while the hurricane was on the way. They were carrying on their sin while God's judgment was hovering just outside the city. So we see the wrath of the Lamb unleashed against sin. You see God judging the coastal areas in the world. Just recently we had a tsunami that wiped out whole villages around the Indian Ocean area, I believe it was, and the East Asian countries there, and thousands of people died in the coastal areas. And now God is judging America in the coastal areas, and this is where the majority of the population of the countries live, is on the coastal areas. The United States population is concentrated in the coast, Pacific Coast, Gulf Coast, on the east coast of the country. The population is concentrated in those areas. And God has been judging those areas. And there's much sin in America, not just in those areas, but there's much sin in America, and God is not overlooking the sin of this country. I want you to understand that the Lamb has wrath as well as love. And in fact, his wrath is the result of rejected love. That is the reason that the Lamb has wrath, is because of his rejected love. He offers us his love. He offers us his forgiveness. He offers us his deliverance. And his wrath is the result of rejected love. That is the wrath of the Lamb, the result of rejected love. Now, it's important for us this morning as we sit here in our blessed area, and we do live in a blessed area as far as the natural is concerned. We don't have any severe weather here to speak of, and we are blessed. But as we are sitting here looking on the devastation and destruction of that area that God has just judged, it's important for us to have the right attitude toward those people and toward what God has done. You know, it's important for those people to react rightly to God's judgment. They misunderstand that God is angry with sin. And if they understand it right, there will be a revival among those people in the city of New Orleans and Biloxi, Mississippi. There will be a revival among them if they understand correctly the wrath of the Lamb. They will submit themselves to God in repentance. And the only problem is what I've been seeing and what I've been hearing is a defiant attitude among these people who have just been visited with the judgment of God. Now, that doesn't surprise me, because when you look in the book of Revelation and you see the heavy judgments of God falling in the tribulation period and the wrath of the Lamb being poured out on the earth in the time of the tribulation period, the Bible says they repented not of their wickedness and they blasphemed the God of heaven, the Bible says. That's the attitude that's demonstrated in the book of Revelation among those who are experiencing the wrath of the Lamb. We're seeing that same attitude being portrayed by those people, some of those people, not all of them, some of those people who have just experienced a taste of the wrath of the Lamb of God. An attitude of defiance rather than an attitude of submission unto God. Cursing and swearing and complaining and all kinds of things going on publicly among these people who have just tasted of the wrath of God. Now listen, for us here this morning, there must be a proper reaction to the judgments of God. We have observed the judgment of God, and we must react appropriately as the people of God to what we have seen. First of all, we must not rejoice over the judgment of God. It is not appropriate for God's people to rejoice over the misfortune of other people, no matter how wicked they are. Oh God, I'm telling you, there's suffering people down there. They're wicked people. Many of them are wicked people, but they're suffering people. And they were made in the image and likeness of God. And every one of them is somebody for whom Jesus Christ died. The Son of God shed His blood for them. Jesus died for them. And the people of God never rejoice over the misfortune of other people, no matter how wicked they may be. Not only do we not rejoice over the misfortune, the judgments that we see falling upon other people, no matter how wicked they may be, but in all that God does, we declare the Lord to be righteous. When the tribulation period is at its close, when multiplied millions of people have died under the judgments of God as a result of the great tribulation, and that tribulation closes out, the wrath of the Lamb has leveled this land. There is those people in heaven who knew God, who were saved by the grace of God, they declare at the end of that manifestation of the wrath of the Lamb, they declare, true and righteous are thy judgments altogether. They understood that God had a reason for everything He did, that God never acted arbitrarily, that God always acted in righteousness, and His judgments were true and righteous altogether. And whenever we see the devastation, whenever we see the wrath of the Lamb, when we see the judgments of God, we as the people of God, we do not rejoice over the misfortunes of others, but at the same time, we justify God and we declare that just and righteous are the ways of God and His ways. Though they're past finding out, they're beyond criticism, we find no fault with God. Anybody going to say amen? You know, when we see the devastation, we don't want to be like those people who, after God had judged Israel, Obadiah in the Old Testament spoke to Edom concerning the coming judgments of God upon them. And he gave them reasons why God was going to judge them. And among them was this reason. He said, "Thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother, in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction." In other words, when God judged Judah, Edom rejoiced because of the destruction of Judah. And now Obadiah says God is going to judge you because you rejoiced over the destruction of Judah. It was God that judged Judah. But when Edom rejoiced, God said, "I'm going to judge you because you have rejoiced over the judgment of Judah." When you realize this morning how Jesus feels toward those people, you remember when Jesus was at the close of his ministry, on his way to Jerusalem to die, the people in Jerusalem would soon crucify him. He's making his way to Jerusalem. And it's the day that he rides into Jerusalem on the donkey. Crowds have gathered around him. They're proclaiming, "Hosanna to the King." Throwing their garments in the path and praising and honoring Jesus. All of a sudden, when he gets to the Mount of Olives, he stops. There's a pause. He gazes down on the city of Jerusalem. The people around him are praising him and they're rejoicing. But Jesus begins to weep. He begins to weep over that city. And he gave us the reasons why he was weeping over that city. He said to them, "You rejected me. It was the day of your visitation. It was a time that you could have gotten right with God, and you didn't do it. And now then," he said, "you're going to be judged." He saw that city in just about 40 years, a little less than 40 years. He saw it leveled by the Roman army. He saw, listen, Josephus says over 1 million people died in the siege of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. Jesus saw that. He wept over those people. He cried over the city of Jerusalem. And my brother, if we could see Jesus this day, I believe we would see that the Son of God is sorrowing over the judgments that have fallen upon our people in this country. Let me tell you something. When they asked, "Who do people say that Jesus is?" Some of them said, "Jesus is Jeremiah, the Old Testament prophet." Why did they say that Jesus was Jeremiah? What was Jeremiah known for? He was known as the weeping prophet. He said when he was a man that for 40 years, he contended with his people and preached to them that the judgment of God is coming on you if you do not turn and you do not repent. But when he saw the judgments of God coming, he said, "Oh, that my eyes, my head were waters, my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people." And they said, "Jesus is Jeremiah." Because not only did Jeremiah weep over the judgments of God, but Jesus wept over those people who were about to experience the judgments of God. Folks, I'm telling you, we're just getting a taste of the wrath of the Lamb. God deals in mercy mixed with judgment. And it behooves all of us to take lessons from it, to understand that God can be angered by sin and that we must submit ourselves unto Him. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, it's really important for you to submit yourself to the Son of God, receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this morning. Because if you don't, if you go on and proceed on to the end of life, rejecting Jesus, Somebody asked the question, where is hell? Somebody else came back with the answer, at the end of a Christless life, there is such a thing as the wrath of the Lamb. Hell is the judgment of God without mercy. But now then, God is dealing with us in judgment mixed with mercy. And it's important for us to respond to God. Hey, we ought to take lessons, folks. I tell you, we ought to take lessons from what we've seen God do in other areas of this country and say, God, I'm going to submit myself to you. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to serve you with all of my heart. I'm not going to hold back nothing from you. I'm telling you, you're either going to give up the world by your choice, or you're going to give up the world because when you die, everybody turns loose of the world. Did you hear me? I said, you're going to give up the world now by choice, or are you going to give it up later without a choice? Someday, you're going to turn loose of it because you cannot hold on to it any longer. And it's so important for us to understand that it's so much better to do it by choice. Receive Jesus, turn loose of the world, and follow Jesus Christ, and live for Him with all of your heart, and you'll be so glad. Hallelujah. I want to see Him smile, don't you? I don't want to face the wrath of the Lamb. I want to see Jesus smile. I want to surrender myself to Him, yield my life to Him now, so that when I face Him, I can see the Lord smile. I want us this morning to end this service in a special way. Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano. And first of all, I'm going to give an altar call. If there's anybody here in this service that you've been disturbed by what's been going on, you don't know how to explain it all, and I don't know how to explain it all, but I know we're seeing a little taste of the wrath of the Lamb of God. And how close we are to the tribulation, I don't know. But, you know, I feel like we're just a rapture away. And that I don't know when that will take place. I don't have any idea when that's going to happen. But I believe we're really close. I believe we're really close. And I feel like this morning that there are some here that you don't have a sense of urgency about your soul. You need to have a sense of urgency about your soul. The wrath of the Lamb is already being tasted in this country. Have you made your calling and election sure? We're going to open the altars for you. This altar call, we're not going to drag it out. We're going to open the altars to you. If you're here this morning, you're ready to give up the world and give your heart to Jesus, the altars are open for you. Come, give your heart to Jesus. Make a surrender to the Son of God. And we'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do our best to help you come to know Jesus. Let's stand together. God is this. When we dismiss this service this morning, we're going to focus our attention on those people that are suffering. And those people who are working, laboring, trying to relieve the suffering. Those people. The Bible tells the Lord's been dealing with me. The Bible says, if you see your brother have need, and you shut up your bowels of compassion against him, how dwelleth the love of God in you? I'm setting up a fund in this church for relief to the victims of Hurricane Katrina. And if you want to make a donation toward the relief of these people, you can make it through this church. And we will do our best to see that this money gets into the hands of those that need it. But I feel a need in my own life to do this. And if you would like to join with me, I'm not going to take up an offering this morning. You just see Sister Judy. But we're going to set up a fund for the relief of the suffering to these people, the recovery that's needed for these people. And if you would like to make a donation, you can pass it through this church. And you'll receive a receipt for it, for your donation. But I felt led to do this. And if you would like to help out, I know that you'll be blessed. We're going to pray together right now. Hey, y'all. Thank God for His mercy to us. And thank God that even now His judgment is mixed with mercy. Y'all heard Brother Roger testify Wednesday night, was it? That storm was headed directly for New Orleans. And a high pressure system bumped that thing over just a little bit. It could have been worse than what it was. And we ought to thank God for His mercy and pray for those people, would you? That's going to be the focus of our prayer.